In 2021, the former Minister for Resources, Keith Pitt, said the following.
Find me a solar panel that works in the dark.
Find me a solar panel that works in the dark. Well, Keith, the University of New South Wales nighttime solar team has done just that, harnessing infrared light released at night into the cooler atmosphere. The team can now generate a voltage from that heat difference. Ever wanted to power your smartwatch from your body heat or your Wi-Fi from a panel on your cooling roof after a hot day? Well, that is now possible. And joining me now to discuss further on 2SER Breakfast, we welcome from the University of New South Wales nighttime solar team, Professor Ned Eakins-Dawkes. Morning, Ned. How are you?
Good morning, Danny. I'm extremely well.
Oh, thank you very much. Have you been having a good science week?
Yeah, absolutely.
I imagine that many people have been calling you to call upon your knowledge.
Well, that's right. Look, we just love talking about solar power at night because it's just so crazy.
It is indeed crazy. Now, your team's device uses a thermoradiative diode to collect energy from generating electricity. Can you tell us a bit more about what energy the device is collecting, how electricity is subsequently generated?
Yeah, of course. So when we think about solar power, we, of course, think of the sun and the sunlight beating down on the Earth's surface. And we think about catching that, a bit like sort of, you know, harvesting apples that are falling to the ground. So the thing with the thermoradiative diode, though, is it works because when the energy arrives from the sun, it will warm up the Earth. And then that warmth, that heat, is radiated back out into outer space. And so the principle in physics here is that whenever you have a flow of energy, you can always extract a little bit of electricity from it.
Yeah.
So during the day, we have sunlight that arrives. It's perhaps sort of more obvious how we can generate electricity from that. But at night, we have this energy that's being released out into this cold universe. And so as the infrared light leaves the surface of the Earth, we can generate some electricity from that.
It is indeed a cold universe.
Yes, the universe must be cold. And so the principle here is whenever you have a temperature difference, hot and cold, you can always generate electricity.
Ah, okay. Now, you first published a theory paper in 2019 about this. You've now successfully proven it in practice. What has been the most interesting discovery during this journey?
So the most interesting discovery, I think, was how the theory led us to this. So the actual principle that I've just mentioned, that whenever we have a temperature difference, you can generate electricity, that's been known for a long time.
Yeah.
And we understand solar panels, we understand how car engines work. It's this field of thermodynamics. But what was fascinating was myself and my team, we sat down and we did the mathematics and we thought, you know what? Whenever we have something that's warm, that's radiating infrared light, it really should be possible to make electricity from this.
Right.
And so thermodynamics is like this sort of cheeky devil. It tempts you. It says, this should be possible. You know, or rather, this is possible.
Yeah.
But then it's up to you to figure out how to do it.
Okay.
And so we knew by 2019, we thought, okay, yes, this should be possible. But then how do we actually make a device? And how do we build an experiment to prove that this works?
This is amazing stuff.
And that's what took us a little bit longer. One of the key things we realized in 2019 was that we did our theory and our mathematics correctly. We realized actually the voltage you get from these devices is actually quite small.
Yeah.
It's one of the things we just have to accept. And so when we built our experiment so we could measure these quite small voltages, then we realized, yes, it's there. The devices we configured showed this effect.
Okay.
And yeah, now it's been demonstrated by quite a few groups.
So I guess one of the challenges is the small voltage. Are there challenges there that you encountered as part of the process?
That's right. So the voltage is small. For listeners who know a little bit about light, when we have light that's being radiated, there's something called a photon, which is a little particle that carries the energy.
Yeah.
And so normally for sunlight, those photons have got quite a lot of energy. So the one photon, which you might get in sunlight, has about the same energy as an AA battery. So you know, that's actually quite a lot of energy that each little photon is carrying.
Yeah.
But in the infrared, it's much less. And so it means that the voltage we get from that infrared light is going to be much lower just because the energy of each particle of light is lower.
Okay.
So it's a fundamental It's linked to fundamental principles in physics as to why the voltage is so low. But it's there, it's measurable, we can use it. It just needs a little bit more engineering to sort of boost it up to the sort of level that you might need to power your smartwatch, for example.
Awesome. So what are the plans next for this technology to produce a greater amount of clean energy?
Well, so here we follow actually history. So when the first silicon solar cell was demonstrated in 1953, it was at a similar stage to our thermoradiative diode. It was a laboratory demonstration. One of the things that I find quite impressive is 5 years later, 1958, they launched the first solar-powered satellite. And so it only took these guys who didn't have computers and they were working with slide rules, you know, an early calculating device, you know, and they managed to do it in 5 years to go from laboratory demonstration to actually using this on a spacecraft. So that's, I think, what's going to happen with our technology here. It's still quite specialized. Spacecraft are always hungry for power. And so for space technology, if there is an advantage, then often people are willing to pay for that. Now, for everyone else who's listening who maybe isn't building a spacecraft, you know, what we need, of course, is to build these thermoradiative diodes with a material that's a lot cheaper than what we're using now. Once again, it follows the story of solar energy.
Yeah.
It's incredible when we think back. 1953, the first silicon solar cell was made. The first transistor had only just been made a few years earlier. You know, the whole idea of electronics, silicon electronics, was new. And yet now, silicon solar cells are so cheap. You know, we can put them on our roofs, we can save our electricity bills. So it's going to take some time to get the costs out of the material. But I think the pathway is similar. It's going to end up in specialized applications like spacecraft first, and then step by step, we'll figure out ways of making it in with materials that are easier to make, or we'll just get better at making those materials.
And for people who aren't building spacecraft at the moment, rethink that plan. Get building. Professor Ned Eakins-Dorks from the University of New South Wales Nighttime Solar Team talking about the revolutionary technology creating electricity at night from solar energy. You're one of the nominated finalists for this year's Eureka Prize for Innovative Use of Technology. That is fantastic. If people want to find out more about your work, where would you direct them?
Well, so we have a website. Obviously, you can look us up.
I will link to that from our website.
Wonderful. Thank you, Danny.
Hey, before I let you go, any advice? It's National Science Week, of course. Any advice for aspiring scientists or anyone with a passion for this field of study?
Yes. So, folks, stick with it because I think doing science, you have to grapple with a whole load of things. You might be passionate about one aspect, but you're being made to do maths. You're being made to do a whole load of other things. What happens is the longer you struggle with something, although it feels hard, things are happening in your brain. You are learning. You are getting a deeper understanding of something.
Synapses are connecting.
Exactly. And so one of the things I found is sometimes I'll go and look at something, just like solar power at night, and it makes no sense at all. But you keep chipping away at it and, you know, follow the maths or, you know, sleep on the problem. Really interesting things happen when you're stuck on something, stuck on some maths, and you go and sleep. Your brain is amazing. But what you need to do is feed it information, and you might not get an instant response. It might take a little bit of time, days, weeks, in my case, perhaps even decades, for the information to actually sink into that gray matter. But when it's there, then, yeah, you can do some really fun stuff. And I think science is actually quite a creative process. It's not just a case of learning stuff and passing exams. When you actually get to do it, it's using the information, using the knowledge that you've got in a creative way.
Professor Ned Eakins-Dorks, this has not only been inspiring and informative, it has, of course, been illuminating. I appreciate your time here. Thanks for joining us on 2SER Breakfast.
Thank you so much, Daddy.